The ship made land at last, 100 yards off the Rockaway Peninsula, a slender skeletal finger of sand that forms a kind of barrier between the southern reaches of Brooklyn and Queens and the angry waters of the Atlantic. Dating back to the War of 1812, the people of New York erected battlements and positioned cannons along the beaches here to defend against foreign invasion. Even before white settlers arrived, the local Canarsie Indians had identified in the 11 miles of dunes and grass something proprietary and exclusive. Rockaway derives from the Canarsie word Rekuwaki, which means place of our own people. A single road runs down the center of the peninsula, past the Marine Parkway Bridge, which connects to the mainland, through the sleepy winterized bungalows of the Breezy Point Cooperative, right out to the western tip of Rockaway, where weekend anglers reel in stripers and blues. Looking south, past the beach at the Atlantic, you wouldn't know you were on the southern fringe of one of the biggest cities in the world. But turn your head the other way, out across the bay side of the peninsula, and there's Coney Island in the distance, the grotty old cyclone tracing a garish profile above the boardwalk. At 1:45 on a moonless Sunday morning, June 6, 1993, a single police cruiser drove east along that central road, its headlights illuminating the dark asphalt. A large stretch of the peninsula is national parkland, and inside the car, a 28-year-old National Park police officer named David Soma was doing a graveyard shift with his partner, Steve DeVivier. At 30, DeVivier had been with the force for 4 years, but this was his first time on an overnight patrol. It wasn't typically an eventful task. The Breezy Point neighborhood west of the bridge was close-knit. The families were mostly Irish-Americans, who had been in the area for generations, working-class city cops and firefighters, whose fathers and grandfathers had bought modest summer homes along the beach in the 50s and 60s, and at some point paved over the sandy lots and winterized their weekend shacks. At 98.5% white, Breezy Point had the peculiar distinction of being the least ethnically diverse neighborhood in New York City. A night patrol of the beach might turn up the occasional keg party or bonfire, but serious crime along that stretch was unheard of. The Breezy Point police force was a volunteer auxiliary. The officers had so little use for their handcuffs that they had taken to oiling them to stave off rust. Soma was behind the wheel, and he saw it first. An earlier rain shower had left the ocean swollen with fog. But out to his right, beyond the beach, the darkness was pierced by a single pinprick of faint green illumination, a mast light. The officers pulled over, got out of the car, and scrambled to the top of the dune separating the road from the beach. In the distance, they beheld the ghostly silhouette of a ship, a tramp steamer, perhaps 150 feet long. The vessel was listing ever so slightly to its side. Soma ran back to the car and got on the radio, alerting the dispatcher that a large ship was dangerously close to shore. He and DeVivier climbed the dune for another look. Then, from out across the water, they heard the first screams. Half stifled by the wind, the cries were borne to them across the beach. To Soma, they sounded desperate, the kind of sound people make when they know they are about to die. He had a flashlight with him and pointed it in the direction of the ship. The sea was rough, the waves fierce and volatile. About 25 yards out, between the rolling swells, Soma saw four heads bobbing in the water. The officers turned and sprinted back to the car. "We've got a large number of people in the water," Soma shouted into the radio. DeVivier had grabbed a life ring and was already running back to the beach. The officers charged into the water. It was cold, 53 degrees, and the surf was violent, big swells breaking all around them and threatening to engulf the people in the distance. Guided by the wailing voices, DeVivier and Soma strode out until they were waist deep. As DeVivier closed the distance to the four people, he hurled the life ring in their direction. But the wind and current carried it away. He reeled it in, walked deeper into the water, and cast the ring again. Again, it failed to reach the people as they struggled in the swells. Realizing that they couldn't do the rescue from solid ground, DeVivier and Soma plunged into the water and began swimming, enormous waves twisting their bodies and crashing over their heads. The drowning people writhed in the cold ocean. Eventually, DeVivier and Soma reached them and shouted over the percussive surf, telling them to take hold of the life ring. Then the officers turned around and dragged the shipwrecked strangers back to shore. There, the four collapsed, panting, on the sand. They were Asian men, the officers saw, diminutive and cadaverously thin. When Soma spoke to them, they didn't appear to understand. They just looked up, with terror in their eyes, and pointed in the direction of the ship. From the ocean, the officers heard more screams.